You're listening to the Macadamia Nuts podcast. Each episode, this group of media academics will discuss current trends in the media industry, including the news and popular culture. If it's on a screen, in print, or on your VR headset, they probably have an expert opinion, or perhaps something entirely irrelevant to the discussion at hand. Without further ado, please welcome the Macadamia Nuts.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode. I'm David Morris.
And I'm Lindsay Maxwell.
And I'm Alec Tiefertiller.
And we're the Macadamia Nuts. All three of us are here this week.
Yay!
Woohoo! I'm back.
We're reunited.
Lindsay.
And it feels so good.
I suppose.
Lindsay recovered from her quote-unquote meeting.
Whatever, dudes. You're just jealous because you don't live close enough to New Orleans to have fun.
Fair enough.
It really was a meeting, though, on a Wednesday.
It's the only place to have fun in the continental United States is New Orleans.
Yes, just ask Mark Twain.
Well played.
If I had a time machine or could speak with the dead, maybe I would. That's an interesting thought. So if you could speak to someone who is no longer on this mortal plane with us, who would it be? Who would you like to have a conversation with? Artists.
There's too many. How you can't put us on the spot
there's
like
not,
that.
There's not one? You don't have one that you're like, oh man, you know,
no.
Just to have a beer with that person.
Can I go media studies nerdy on this?
Sure.
Oh my God,
course.
You're going to say McLuhan? Yeah.
Well, now I can't.
Well, I know the answer because when we were in Toronto, you were like, let's go to Marshall McLuhan's house.
I know.
Loser.
Marshall McLuhan, one of the interesting media for those of our listeners who may not be aware, very interesting media personality theorist, whatnot, who was predicted the internet and the global village and had very interesting things. Understanding Media, if you want to read a very interesting book about media. So that's the nerdy answer. I mean, the true thing,
answer, like
yeah, it's going to be, would be something like Paul Newman or something. I don't know, you know, some actor or something. Is Paul Newman nerdy? I don't think Paul Newman's nerdy.
No, it's pretty normal. You could ask him about like ranch dressing and.
Yes. Yeah. Car racing.
Yes.
And one of my favorite movies, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Mm. It's fair.
I think I'd like to have a conversation with Jim Morrison.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
I don't know if it would be a very entertaining conversation or, you know, or I don't know how deep it would be. I guess it would depend on the level of, you know, how gone he is at the time.
Yeah. Right, like what Jim Morrison?
Which Jim Morrison? You
know, yeah. Right.
Young, old.
Yeah. Twilights of his career. I just think it'd be interesting to have a conversation with him. I don't know why I automatically go to like musicians and stuff when I think about that. Musicians. Like people I didn't get to see, you know, like Kurt. Like, could I have a few minute conversation with Kurt?
Hmm. I just have a feeling that any conversation like that, no matter who it is, it's just going to be disappointing, right? Because you're going to go unexpected.
Totally.
And they're just going to be like, whoa, tell me about this phone. Is that a phone? What is this weird brick you're carrying around? What are you wearing?
So you get to bring your phone in the time travel portal? Like, what are the rules here?
Are we going back or are we bringing them forward? I guess.
Right. Or is it just a conversation on some other astral plane? Right.
I was thinking like, astral projection out of our plane.
Yeah. Like a hologram situation.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So they're already in the afterlife and already aware of everything that's going on because they have nothing better to do than to spectate.
Like hang out.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Right? Which honestly, I kind of hope that's what it is. Like, I hope I get to like just chill and watch history play out for the next couple thousand years.
For the rest of your existence.
Right.
Oh, I don't know, man.
I just want to know. Like, I'm just curious.
Well, I mean, I can't even get through a full season of Fire Country. I don't know that watching the full season of
existence,
the history of the United States as it plays out, or, you know, change the channel, bro.
That makes me wonder if would there. So is like somebody up there like binge watching our, like our ancestors basically binge watching our lives,
like sure Hunger Gamesing us.
Yeah,
I sure hope not.
Oh my
if
god!
If so, Mom, I'm sorry. Grandma, Grandpa, I apologize.
I was about to say they've seen some stuff. Oh man,
I didn't mean to cry on the toilet and eat that whole cheesecake. I'm so sorry.
Oh my goodness. Well, that took a turn.
Yeah, that it went a weird direction.
That's okay though. That's why we're here though, right?
Yeah.
I saw some Nielsen ratings this morning.
Yeah, okay. All right.
113 million viewers for the Super Bowl. I mean, right up there. I mean,
okay.
Broadcast isn't dead yet.
I mean,
however, in January,
isn't that an outlier though?
Yeah, no, it is.
Yes.
I mean,
that's it. Because it's basically like the Super Bowl and Fire Country. That's like broadcast right now. Because I think in January, streaming was 38% of television consumed, cable was 30%, and broadcast was 25%. So okay. Streaming is like the clear leader. Now, again, I say clear leader. It's under 40%. So it's not like all anyone's doing is streaming, but it is the biggest chunk of people's time, I guess, for lack of a better way of looking at it.
Yeah.
But yeah, only 25% is broadcast at this point. Sorry, Fire Country.
Well, but I mean, that's kind of weird to think about too, because it started out 100%, right? That was the only option, and we've just slowly gone into other things.
Yeah.
I wonder why. I just can't see a world in which that's actually financially beneficial. Like, I don't. Do you still think there's honestly people who only watch broadcast at this point?
A few, maybe, probably some
to
older people.
To warrant the cost and infrastructure and resources that go into creating, like,
right.
I don't know. I've never watched broadcast. Like, we just had cable and you get the, you know, broadcast, I'm using air quotes, channels on your cable.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
we will, this is funny, as much as we stream, we will watch kind of local sports on broadcast. We have the antenna, digital antenna hooked up.
Oh, because you don't have cable. See, we pay extra, surprise, for the, like, ESPN package or whatever to get, like, the SEC network and all the different, like, college football stuff.
Yeah, Dr. Maxwell, the Scrooge McDuck of streaming services on our podcast.
I know, just diving into
swimming
a
around
pile.
In them.
Yeah.
I will say, in fairness, though, that's there's not a good streaming sports option. That's the one.
The last
frontier
of
it seems to be
Comcast.
Which brings us to another thing that we talked about this summer. But and I don't think, Lindsay, you were here for this conversation, but it's heated.
We circle back because I know
you
guys asked
back, right?
me. Yeah.
And your answer was just Roll Tide.
SEC. SEC. Yeah, that was my answer.
But there's been some more chatter recently. One of my many alma maters, Florida State, the athletic director there is basically, they're in the ACC, the Atlantic Coast Conference. And the athletic director there has basically just come out and said that we don't want to be in the ACC anymore. We're stuck here right now. But the deal that the ACC's broadcast deal is absolute trash. They're locked up through like 2036. Other conferences will have negotiated and then renegotiated their contract by the time the ACC comes up. And they're saying, like, within 5 or 10 years, you know, the ACT will be making the per school payout will be half of what some of the other schools are getting in the SEC, SEC, and the Big
Ten.
But
to be fair, like Florida State, to me, is a really good team. Florida State and Clemson are the ones that are like, why are they in that?
Well, that's
right. Like,
that's the thing is I think Florida State, everyone said the only reason
they were a good AD team. Let me clarify. I'm not unaware that they have sucked the last few years, but historically Florida State has been good.
We had 10 wins this year. We're on the rise. We're coming back.
Okay.
10 wins this year. Good bowl win. Good recruiting class and whatnot. But it has been, yeah, that conference is, yes, you've got, it's like Florida State and Clemson. And I think that's, they're saying, hey, guys, we want out. We're going to leave the first opportunity we get is basically what they're publicly saying.
Right.
And by the way, when we leave, the rest of you are just completely screwed because there's no, like Duke, you think who's watching Duke football, right? I don't think the Duke football team even wants to watch Duke football. But, you know, and that's kind of the issue. But like, you have the Pac-12 out there, which cannot get a deal right now. Like, they've been trying since the summer to get their rights deal. But that's, of course, USC and UCLA. We already talked about this. They left. So they're struggling. So it seems like it just seems like some dominoes are about to fall in terms of schools leaving different conferences. Florida State, the best scenario, like they're locked in this contract, but they're exploring options to get out of it. And honestly, if 8 teams from the ACC decide, okay, we don't want to be in this sinking ship either, they can just dissolve the conference and that's it. There's, you know.
Then what do those teams do? They get absorbed by some other conference? They start a new conference? What's the point of that?
I think it'll be certain teams will try to, like, they're hoping, like, the SEC, the beloved SEC of Dr. Maxwell. They're hoping.
We don't want Duke either.
Well, no, but they're hoping, like, teams like Clemson and Florida State. David is now literally eating popcorn
as we talk. But keep going. I'm just getting settled
into this conversation. I don't have much to add, so I figured I'll eat some buttered popcorn while you guys debate the ins and outs of college football. You want to talk about esports, I'm here for it.
But this could affect Oregon, because Oregon's in the Pac-12, David, and they might end up in, like, the Big Ten with USC, UCLA. Our Ducks, which is another of our alma maters.
Look, between the three of us, like, the number of affiliations that we have is all the teams on all the conferences. Like,
pretty much is. You've got Alabama.
I'm really only SEC and Sun Belt.
That's true.
Because
that's true.
Alabama and Southern Miss and UL Lafayette are both Sun Belt now.
That's right. That's right. Yep. David, you've got Memphis.
Where does Memphis play?
Are they American, the American Conference? Or does that even exist anymore? Because that was another one that got...
I don't know.
They got...
I don't know.
That sounds right, but I'm not sure.
They got
Conference
raided by the Big 12.
USA?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But again, this, you know, all these conversations, it's all about media rights. It's all about money coming from media rights. They're saying Apple is looking at the Pac-12, which...
The Apple Pac-12? The Pac-12?
The Papple. Pac-12? Papple. Papple.
I hate you both right now. Absolutely absurd. And that's going to make its way into the title of the episode. I can feel it already.
Papple.
The
Pac-12 on
Apple. Pac-12.
Which is Pac-10 right now because they lost 2 teams. The Big 12 currently has 14 teams, but we'll have 12 teams. The Big 10 has 16 teams when USC and UCLA come.
The Southeastern Conference has teams in the Southwest and the Midwest and
all kinds of weird Texas stuff now.
Yeah, to A&M.
Are any of them? Be clear,
we have Texas A&M and we have Missouri.
But Texas
Neither
is
of those
too.
Things is in the South.
Texas and Oklahoma. Oklahoma's
about to
join.
See, I'm losing track of who's coming and
going.
That's
the thing. You can't keep up with it.
I don't know anymore.
Well, let me throw this out to you. Are any of them large enough to just buy all the other ones?
Conferences? What do you
to just go to a single.
The talk is, come on.
What about something that's more split, like the NFL?
The talk is
like
that
a half and half.
Yeah, the talk is that like the Big Ten and SEC might go to 20 teams each, which would be huge, and you would essentially get that. And that they would be like they already are. Big Ten and SEC are already in terms of revenue. They're already the haves.
Yeah,
that's. Like, they blow everyone else away. And that's why Florida State's freaking out in the ACC, because ACC has a terrible deal. And honestly, Florida State, Clemson, maybe Miami are the only marquee football teams in the conference that have get any type of viewership.
Yeah, so University of Memphis is in the American Athletics Conference.
Okay.
Is that not the
No, AC. That's ACC.
Oh, the ACC. Okay, versus AC. Okay.
AC.
Yep. Okay.
Whew. Too many A's. Too many A names.
And
C's.
Yeah. Too many packs. Like, too many bigs.
Too many packs. Bigs. Like way too many bigs. And the numeric. The Big 12 for many years was 10 teams. Like, come on.
Well, so Tulane and Memphis are, and it looks like also UC, maybe Cincinnati, Navy.
Well, Cincinnati and UCF and Houston are leaving to the Big 12.
Okay, Cincinnati, UCF. Okay, all right.
Yeah, and the Big 12 might,
a lot of these aren't even, like it doesn't make any geographical sense either how these work out, right?
No,
like, not even close. No,
it's just like, who wants to come join our band, you know? Like,
yeah, well, the Big Ten and the SEC is kind of southernish
ish.
The Big Ten for the longest time was like Northeast, Upper Midwest, but then last year they had USC and UCLA. If you look at it on the map, it's like a blob up in the top of the top corner of the United States, and then these two little schools out in the middle of nowhere. But again, it's all about LA and viewership and media markets, media rights. Everyone's saying that the streaming is just not there for the live sports is like the last bastion of broadcast and cable, right? That's why, like Lindsay, that's why you basically probably why you have cable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That and Yellowstone. You know how I love Yellowstone.
But that's.
I have Yellowstone and don't have cable, though.
Yeah.
I have Paramount Plus.
Paramount, Peacock, whatever.
Which reminds me, I saw another interesting. Did you guys see that somebody has Showtime now? Is it Paramount Plus? Somebody picked up Showtime and it's now on their streaming platform.
Or is it Hulu? Was it Hulu?
Maybe it was Hulu. I wanted to say Hulu initially, but I feel like it might have been Paramount
Plus. Paramount Plus?
Yeah. That it's now part of their...
Yeah, who owns that? That's a good question.
It's definitely a bundle. Yeah, Paramount Plus with Showtime.
Okay.
See, Paramount turned down a $3 billion plus offer for Showtime from former executive.
Huh.
Who knew?
So I don't know if it's just a partnership or if they've been swooped
or if
up.
It's an actual, they own it like Warner Brothers Discovery.
Yeah, their streaming platform has kind of been doo-doo for as long as I've had it.
Showtime?
Yeah, it's been a little rough. Not the Paramount Plus is like... you know, Netflix or anything interface wise. But it's been kind of
bad, but it's not, it's not doo doo.
Yeah. I think the one I hate the worst is Hulu.
Oh, interesting.
You hate Hulu?
Their interface. Like it always seems like I can never find what I'm looking for. And like, it's like, and the like structure doesn't make any sense. It's like, here's a row of shows you've partly watched, and then here's things that you might watch, but then here's things like, it's just like it just seems so disorganized. And then the tiles that they use for the shows are so big, right? You can only look at like six things on your screen at once before you're trying to scroll up or down or left to right.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just not a fan. I'm just not a fan of that that UX and UI design.
I hate Disney. I hate Disney Plus.
Oh, Disney Plus is the worst. Yeah.
Well, guess who owns both of those?
But Hulu, yeah. But neither, yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, they're both
if you
terrible.
Got the content, you don't care how you give it to them.
My kids, they like the show Bluey, which honestly, I will watch Bluey without kids. But I voice remote it. Like I'll do the, you know, Comcast thing and it's a Bluey on Disney Plus and it'll go automatically. But now they say that for everything. They'll be like, Mommy, we want to watch, The Lion King on Disney Plus. Like, because they hear me say it. So, like, Mommy, we want to watch
funny.
Something on Disney Plus. And it's like not even on Disney Plus. It's just some random thing. But they think that's what you have to say.
That's funny.
I've ruined them.
What frustrates me with Disney Plus is some of their kid programming won't show up in the kid account. Like my daughter has her own little, you know, account. But some of the stuff that I guess I don't really know why, like some of the animated stuff, like a random Pixar movie won't be able to show up. We have to go to our account. And I'm like, why is WALL-E not acceptable for...
Is there a difference in the rating, maybe?
I don't think so. I mean, I think a lot of...
G versus PG? Or...
That's what I tried to figure out. But some of the stuff, I don't think that's the case. I don't know why. It frustrates me that... I'm like, I'll go to her channel and I'm trying to look up an animated thing and... And it won't show up. And like, how is this not on Disney? And then I'll go over to my channel and, here it is. Moana or something like that.
Good old Moana.
Yeah.
I'm not. It's not like Deadpool, you know? We're not trying to. We're not there yet. With the 7-year-old.
Yeah, you act like you'll ever get there.
Fair enough.
Hey, honey, you want to sit down and watch Deadpool with Daddy?
Oh gosh, no. Yeah. You're probably right there. Though I have lately been wanting to, with my wife, and I'll be like, hey, she can handle Jurassic Park, right? She can handle Jurassic. I really want to watch Jurassic Park.
Yeah, so... like maybe 3 days ago, I was in one room and I could hear them watching whatever in the other room. And all of a sudden I heard the Jurassic Park theme song. I was like, are they watching Jurassic Park? But there's like an animated kid.
Yes, on Netflix.
It has the same like theme music. But I was like, oh God, like they're not ready for this. And like bolting in there. And it was an animated kid Jurassic Park. So then it was fine. But I was like, the T-Rex will traumatize them.
Well, that's the thing, because Kinsey, she's watched all of that, the animated one, and that's piqued her interest.
Now she wants
to see the big
Jurassic Park.
We've shown her some of the scenes, like this, you know, like the first time you see the the famous, you know, when they welcome to Jurassic Park. You know? Yeah, so she's
where
seen
Laura
some of that.
Dern is just acting the best acting that's ever happened. Yes. Ugh.
Sam, you know, Samuel taking off his sunglasses. Which is a great scene. I mean, like,
so good. It's so good. Yeah, I'm not making fun. I'm like, that's the greatest acting I've ever
all
seen
time.
Is Laura Dern pretending she sees a Brachiosaurus.
Yes. Yeah, it's literally when you know it was just some dude with tennis balls
right. And
a long stick. Right about here, there will be a dinosaur.
Right.
It's going to look like this, but it's going to be huge. We have a T-Rex.
They have a T-Rex. They have a T-Rex. Ah, the 90s.
The last great age of movies.
Oh, no, we're not that old. I refuse to be nostalgic in that way.
You're just going to skip the whole MCU, bud? Like,
did you forget about the Dark Knight?
No,
okay,
enough.
Come on.
Okay, fair enough. Though,
what about
Ant-Man,
Star Wars
Ant-Man,
1, 2, and 3, bro?
Okay, no.
Got him.
Jar Jar, come on, man. Though, apparently Ant-Man is struggling a little bit.
I have not seen it. I have
been
meaning to get over to see it. But, yeah, you're right. mixed bag on reviews for sure.
And huge drop second weekend.
Never a good sign.
Bit like, I think they said the worst.
That happened to Whatchamajiggy, though, too, Lindsay.
Oh, that one?
No, it happened to
Avatar.
Too, yeah. I think its second week dropped pretty bad, too, and that's gave me hope.
But, that's true. But Ant-Man was worse. Ant-Man was like, I think Avatar was like 69% drop, and Ant-Man was like 72% drop. However, it did have to go up against this week's smash hit, Cocaine Bear.
Which, bizarrely, I've seen everyone's like, I love it. It's so good. Go see it. Like, I can't believe it.
If given the choice, I say this as a MCU lover, Paul Rudd lover, Ant-Man lover. If given the choice, I would go to Cocaine Bear.
Samesies. Yep, same. But you'll never see me in a theater, so... We know that's, you know, fake advertising or whatever.
But I would like if I, because I think if I went, it would be, there would be some friend, like some people that we know, like, hey, let's all go together. And we would go just because we know it's going to be ridiculous.
Yep. Yep.
Whereas Ant-Man, I'm like, it's going to be on Disney in 2 months.
Yeah. I will stream Cocaine Bear at some point just for the sheer comedy of it. But
yeah.
Yeah, so, I'm not paying to see that in the theater.
No.
Really?
No.
I'll
watch it several times at my house, probably, but I'm not gonna pay to go see that in the theater, Alec.
But I'm thinking like a group of friends, because I feel like there's some friends that if the right combination went, I could somehow convince my wife to go.
Good luck. Good luck.
Fair enough.
Godspeed, sir.
Who's going to watch your daughter while you go to Cocaine Bear?
These are friends that all have kids. We'll get a sitter together. What are you going to see? Right. And then we'll tell them we're going to go see...
Ant-Man.
Or the, you know, yeah, some inspiring family movie. And then we'll go see Cocaine Bear. Ray Liotta's last film.
Liotta's in Cocaine Bear?
Yes.
What? I didn't even know that.
His last film before he passed away, Cocaine Bear.
That's like legendary status.
It's directed by Elizabeth Banks.
I love Elizabeth Banks. Like I'm making fun of Cocaine Bear, but everyone that I've seen that has seen it is like, go see it. It's hilarious. Yeah.
If we were all together, I think I could convince Lindsay.
You think I'm going to break my streak for Cocaine Bear?
All of us going together?
No. Maybe. But probably
like if
not.
We showed up at your house this weekend.
Oh, don't give her anxiety. Don't give her crippling anxiety.
I would make you help me build the greenhouse in my backyard that I bullied my husband into building. And then maybe Cocaine Bear.
I'd do it if it led to Cocaine Bear.
I wonder what the word count is for the use of cocaine on this episode.
A lot. So,
we just set off several U.S. government red flags.
Yeah.
Now the federal... Who polices that ATF today?
I don't know. I was going to say the NSA has to pass it off to the ATF, right?
ATF, like, yeah.
We're getting a multi-agency
This episode of the Macadamia Nuts is brought to you by Cocaine Bear.
Oh, my goodness. Which, you know, can happen. We're about to come up on spring break. When's you guys spring break? When are you all coming up on spring break?
Next week, but the week after.
Okay, we're next week.
Ugh.
We are next week as well. So, trip to Lindsay's? Okay.
This could happen.
I mean, again, I'll be at school. So if you want to come to Southern Miss and hang out, guest teach a class for me, go right ahead.
Yes. Let's do that. Are you that dicey with your career? Let me come guest lecture for you.
Tenure.
She doesn't care.
Tenure.
Let us discuss Cocaine Bear.
It's media.
You think I don't already do that with my classes? Like, what are you talking about?
I meant on cocaine. God.
Oh, no, no, no. That oh my is, goodness. I could probably get fired for that.
Here's some of the set cocaine from Cocaine Bear. It's actually powdered sugar.
I was about to say, it's not, I'm willing to bet it is.
Right.
I don't know, on that movie sort. It might actually be cocaine.
But here's the thing, not for the bear, because that would violate right. the animal safety laws and stuff like that, okay?
That's true.
So Ted Lasso soon.
Yeah, I'm hyped. I do love Ted Lasso.
Yes.
Is this the last season?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I haven't heard.
Season 3, I don't know. Yeah.
I heard it was last, but maybe like they are in production of the last or something like that. I don't know.
Maybe like third yeah. one's dropping, fourth one might be the last. That might make sense.
Maybe so. Yeah, I watched two things. You should be proud of me. Okay. I watched The White Lotus.
Which season?
Seasons 1 and season 2.
Oh, okay.
Because I hadn't watched season 1, so yeah, I'm caught up now. And then last night, in a binge, I watched The Murdoch Murders on Netflix.
Because okay.
it's
one?
Very
okay.
much in the public rhetoric at this time.
Murdoch. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not familiar with
that. I remember like the story. Like I've vaguely been following the story. So there's like a Netflix doc about it. This guy in South Carolina with all these mysterious murders and stuff, and he's on trial right now. So like right now in real life, his trial is ongoing.
Interesting.
But that was cool. And White Lotus I loved, and like it really makes me want to go on vacation. So I'm ready for summer.
Which season did you like better? One
so
or two?
Interesting. My husband watched it without me already, and he was like, season 2 is better than season 1. And I kind of concur. Like, season 1 was really good. Season 2, I loved it. So I'm going to say season 2. What do you think?
I kind of like season 1 better than season 2.
Okay. Why?
I don't know. I think the conflicts just were more plausible in my mind. Mm-hmm. Like some of the thing, mm-hmm. like it was less fantasy-esque of like what might have been transpiring. Like we started to get a little more out of the realm of like, okay, this really could happen to a bunch of strangers at like a resort thing.
Right.
In season 2, we kind of start to like, how crazy could we make this, right? And
I kind of liked it like that. Yeah. I don't want to see real. I want to see fake rich people in Sicily, okay? That's all I want.
What? I don't even know what this show's about.
So it's like about a resort. The first season's about a resort in Hawaii called the White Lotus, like an all-inclusive, you know, fancy rich people resort. Gotcha. And three different storylines of different families that are there at the same week. And it kind of resolves in all these kind of loose ends tie up. It's really good. And then season 2 is the same thing, but different characters. And it's in a different resort in Sicily. So like there's in this fantasy world a chain called White Lotus, right? So like
high end resorts.
Yes. Gotcha. Yeah. Yep.
And it's not like a murder mystery. Or
it
something.
Is. Yeah.
Oh, it is. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of a whodunit.
Right. Like in the first gotcha. Episode of both seasons, you know that there is a dead body, and so the whole seasons are gotcha. Like trying to figure out who died and who killed someone or something like that.
Well, yeah, I am almost, we're getting close to the end of Only Murders in the Building season 2. That's been our project over the weekend. And well, we traveled. I was at a conference end of last week, but so we didn't really get a chance.
Are you enjoying it?
Oh, yeah. It's great.
It's great. I mean,
it's funny. It's, yeah, we've really... I feel like I don't feel a huge drop off from the second season.
Yeah, it's good.
In the first season, I felt I'm excited to see we're getting to like episode 7, if I remember correctly. That's when things started to really heat up with the first season. So we shall see. But so such great cast.
Yeah, absolutely. So I just want to talk briefly about IMDb's homepage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I find it interesting. You know, you've got the kind of what's up next kind of stuff at the top, right? The anatomy of this page is continuously changing. But as I scroll down to the bottom, like, you know, there's the what to watch where you log in to your account and it gives you recommendations. Then there's a section called fan favorites and then exclusive videos. And then we get to a section that's called explore what's streaming. Mind you, this is before the next section, which is explore movies and TV shows in theaters.
Ooh.
So the streaming stuff is above the in-theater stuff on the homepage. But not only that, they have now have, under where it says explore what's streaming, a list of all the streaming platforms. And when you click on it, it has title cards for all kinds of things and the ratings that are on there. So let me read you the order of which these are up here. So number one, streaming service in this left to right. Now, this may or may not be a coincidence, but number one is what? Prime Video.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right? Because yeah. Amazon owns IMDb.
Big shot.
Yeah.
Right.
Then we have Netflix.
Okay.
Apple TV Plus.
Okay. That should be way down, but okay.
Hulu.
Okay.
HBO Max. Peacock. Freevee.
No.
Which
is also... That's also an Amazon. Amazon owns that.
Oh, I was going to say, that's way too high, but I see why now. Okay.
And then Paramount Plus, AMC Plus, Stars, Showtime.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And then when you click on them, it's got like included in Prime and the Netflix one. When you click on it, it says, you know, with a subscription, right? With a subscription, you know, on the Hulu app and things. But it's got, it seems to be showing, and I don't know how exactly the algorithm's working. But it's not showing me things that are just high in star rating. It's not like, here's the top rated things. Because, like, when I click on Apple TV Plus, the first thing it shows me is Sharper, which is a 6.6, followed by Shrinking, which is a 7.8. And then Ted Lasso at an 8.8. So I don't know if it's based on what, like, Timely just came out or what they're using to kind of determine this. I would have thought the easy solution would be, like, here's the things on these platforms that are, like, really rated really well, but
that's not
what it's doing. So I would be interested to know how it's choosing content to put up there. I would guess that in the case of Amazon, because they own the platform and they own the content for the streaming, that they are selectively choosing what gets put on there. Right? Because Carnival Row is listed as number one, the second season of Carnival Row.
Yeah, looking at that, yeah.
And I don't know, like, how much on people's radar that is, right?
Yeah.
Also on there for me is The Consultant. I have been watching that.
What is that?
Well.
Oh, it's the Christoph Waltz.
Yes. And it is six shades of messed up. Like, I can't even begin to, I don't know what's going on. Like, where it's like just, like, we are, like, three episodes in, and you just, you'd have no clue what's going on, and it is beyond creepy, the things that are happening in this show.
Isn't the premise that a tech company, the CEO, dies kind of mysteriously?
And then suddenly after the death, this consultant shows up to
played by Christoph take over Waltz, the business. Yeah.
But there's also a track record of other CEO's dying and this consultant showing
interesting.
Up. And it's there. I will tell you first out the gate, this is not something that you could watch with your significant other. Cause I'm talking to Alec because.
I was like, I thought you meant blanket. I was like, what?
No, not something that Alec could watch with his significant other because I even, it was the first episode was enough to make my father walk out of the room and be like, I can't watch this. Right? Because it's just, it's like, it's random things that are just in this that are like happening in the story that you're like, I'm trying to think if there's another show to kind of like relate it to. I don't know, maybe like if you took The Office and The Boys and swirled them together.
Oh, yeah, no.
But except there's not, it's not like, there's not, it's not meant to be like dark and humorous as much as it's just like,
unsettling.
Yeah, there's like just messed up, dark, really dark things going on in this show.
Okay.
So somebody else has got to watch it for me. It's only 30-minute episodes.
You've really sold it with this preview.
I'm trying really hard not to give anything away is the problem. Gotcha. Like, I want to be like, oh my gosh, like, what? Let's talk about something that happened in this, but we just can't because I don't want to give anything away.
Okay.
But somebody just like watch the first episode of it. Please. It's like 30 minutes of your time. I'll wait. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah.
It's just live stream. Like the live stream would just be want us to be like, oh,
like our reactions.
Oh,
oh no. I was going to say like that. I can't even say it in like 2006. There was that video and you had to watch it and record yourself watching it. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that.
What are you talking about?
I'm going to ruin our podcast. Two Girls, One Cup. Remember when that was like a thing?
I mean, I remember that piece of media, if that's what you want to call it, that existed.
Yeah, I'm just saying I don't want us to go down that kind of path as a society again.
Well,
okay?
Considering this is a Amazon Prime show, I think we're safe on
We're okay on...
But as a society, we might get there.
Right? No, I don't want us to. I don't want...
We might get there. Oh...
How come our IMDb discussions always just go off the rails?
They do. Every time we're talking about the IMDb platform and Amazon, we end up in the weeds.
What?
Like the dirty, horrible weeds.
What is it about IMDb?
So I used IMDb the other day because I'm always... I have a crazy face recognition skills. Like, for a perfect example, and I hope this person's listening because it actually was hilarious. So... The year was 2014. This was AEJMC in Montreal. And I had talked like for 20 minutes, half an hour at a poster session with somebody that was like a grad student at LSU. We chit-chatted. Okay. That was 9 years ago. Last week, walking down the street in New Orleans, I passed this person. I was like, I know you. I know you. And he was like, who? And I was like, we talked in Montreal in 2014.
Oh my gosh.
We're still friends on Facebook. That's how it's, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, so I've been seeing pictures of him. I was like, I know you. He was like, take your sunglasses off. And like, we recognized each other. But like, anyway, that's my side story of I have a really strong, like, I can recognize faces. And so I use IMDb all the time to figure out who was in what. Like, I've seen that face before. Who is it? And one of the White Lotus characters is Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite. Yes. And I was like,
oh, I'm in.
It's Uncle Rico.
I'm in. Okay,
he's not playing any kind of Uncle Rico, but right. He is there. And I was like, yeah.
I want to see this now. I'm in. Yeah. I'm in. White Lotus, I'm in.
Yeah.
It's what's it on? It's on HBO. It's on something I don't have.
Yeah,
right?
It's on HBO. Sorry.
Okay. Well, but it'll
now I just want to watch Napoleon Dynamite again.
Seriously.
Throw over the mountains.
So speaking of weird review bombing and review sites, a la IMDb, this is going to be so geeky. I want to apologize in advance for the level of nerdiness I'm about to display.
It's going to be bad because we're already at like a deep...
Oh, I know.
...deep level. You said you wanted to talk to Marshall McLuhan, but
that,
go ahead.
Yes, this is not... Yeah. So there's a website called... Okay, so me and my wife, we are board game enthusiasts. I think we may have discussed this before. We're pretty deep in the board game nerdery.
Community?
Right?
Yeah.
Yes. There's a website called Board Game Geek, which is a rating, you know, if you want to find a new board game, it's like the it's where you go, right? Figure out what people think about board games. Well, they publish their top 100 list or their top 10 list. So you can see at any time what is the most popular board game in the Board Game Geek culture. And again, it's not Risk. It's not Monopoly, right? We're much...
Right, much more off the rails.
Yes, much more off the rails. So for the longest time, the most popular number one game was this game called Gloomhaven, which is what they call a legacy game. It's kind of like a, you know what? I haven't even played. I don't want to even start describing it because I'll screw it up, and I don't want the nerds coming after me and questioning.
Can you
nerds.
Just describe what a legacy game is?
a legacy game is a board game that is played, like you play it multiple times and it's like an ongoing story. So
okay.
It's going to, you're going to have to play the game. You play the game, but each time you play it, something new is kind of revealed. There's a new twist.
Oh Lord. And, okay.
And so there's like an ultimate winner. It's, we, that's not something that we do because we just don't have the regular time. Players to, and yeah. time to dig yeah. into it. Though I mean, no, well, no, we've got the time because we'll play a lot of board games. But it's, yeah, it's just having something we haven't dug into. So it basically recently got replaced by another game called Brass Birmingham, which is actually a game I own and I'm a fan of, obviously. So I was kind of excited. I was like, oh, good. That's a game I own and enjoy. It's such a nerdy game. You basically are a English merchant during the Industrial Revolution, and you're building factories and establishing markets.
Oh, I love it when it's so loser-ish.
And it's one of the, it's a Euro game, they call it.
So is this like, but is it like the predecessor of Peaky Blinders? You didn't watch, but they're in Birmingham. No. Birmingham!
Yes.
After the Industrial Revolution.
Oh my God. I think this is before.
You're going to have to cut that part out.
We don't talk that way when we play, though we could.
Yeah, we could.
But what's funny about it, so and this is all based on user ratings. So Brass Birmingham, which had been like at number 3, jumps to number
mm-hmm,
1.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, now both sides, now there's review bombing happening.
Oh no.
Like all of a sudden in the last month, Brass Birmingham starts getting a bunch of 1s, mm-hmm, you know, on a scale mm-hmm. of 10.
And it's the fans of
Gloomhaven. So then wow. the fans of Brass Birmingham, and again, I have not participated. Now they're review bombing Gloomhaven.
So who's number 2? Like who's going to leapfrog over?
That's the big question. Actually, I need to go look at that because I'm not sure.
Pandemic Legacy,
which another
is now yes. in second place. Gloomhaven has dropped to third. And Brass, oh my goodness! Amazon first.
They're I never knew on. There was so much like board game drama.
Can we
I never
talk
knew
about how these games are $180 and $160 a piece.
Whoa! Oh my God!
How about we talk yeah. about that, Alec? Do you have a problem? Do we
oh, that's why he can't afford streaming services.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. No, that's there's some relevance there. We don't. I don't think I've ever spent that much on a game, but they're not. And most Target's improved. You can get some of these better games at Target now, but again, this is not Risk or Monopoly. This is not a $25
little peasants. And to me, I'm like, oh my God, Monopoly! Like that would take so long to play. It's so intricate. I'm just not a board gamer like that.
Yeah, these games are. I will say this though: a well designed Euro, you can play in 2 hours.
So. I just happened to click on some of the ratings, these 1 ratings for Brass Birmingham.
Okay.
And somebody left one this month, or last month, now that we're in March, but it says, a convoluted Euro game that is much more, that is so much fun, I'd rather have major surgery than play it again. Unless you enjoy heavy number crunching and complicated rules, play something else.
I feel seen. I feel seen.
Targeted.
I feel targeted. I think it's a fun game. It's not that nerdy. But again, if you're in Gloomhaven where you're a nerd with your little, I don't know, orcs and elves or whatever.
See, and I'm like, where is Settlers of Catan on this list? Like, that's where I'm at. You know, just want to have a field and a bridge. And
see, Settlers has even crossed over from being too mainstream.
Oh, I thought it was super mainstream.
Yeah. So yeah. I don't know. It still gets some love. That, you know, there's still expansions, but yeah, it's one that would have been like 10 years ago, it would have been like a step up from Monopoly. Like, oh yeah.
Right.
It's way better. But yeah, no, even it has crossed over out of, it's not a deep enough cut.
Right. Like if I have it, because I think I have Monopoly, Scrabble, Mad Gab. I'm like weirdly obsessed with this game called Mad Gab from the early 2000s. Whatever, guys. Pretend you haven't heard of it. And Settlers of Catan. And then One Night Werewolf. We're really into the One Night Werewolf in my family.
That's a decent deep cut. That's a good one.
That's all that I have. Yeah. Oh, would it? And oh, I have a couple expansion packs for my One Night Werewolf game.
One Night Werewolf is solid. We play that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. I have the Daybreak expansion pack.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So switching over to Gloomhaven's reviews and looking at their one.
Oh, good. I want to hear some of these.
So somebody in Germany wrote, downvoted just to counter the toxic fanboys who downvote other games and challenge the positions of GH. Take that. And then another one, the toxicity of Gloomhaven's fandom is total turn off, and because of it, I have no desire to go anywhere near this game.
What is it about? Why are we so petty? Why are we nerds so petty?
Because you got nothing else. And by you, I mean we.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And I accept that.
Yeah. We do talk about this regularly, right? The toxicity of fandoms across all kinds of different things.
Yeah.
I thought board gamers, we would be above that. Right. No.
Like you thought board gaming would have a little more class, a little more.
Are you kidding me? Have you ever played Monopoly with people? What do you class? Yes.
It's fair.
Table flipping, throwing, crying.
It should not be surprising that individuals who enjoy a competitive medium would be competitive.
Even things that aren't competitive.
Fandoms are like, you know what I mean? Like Star Wars and Star Trek, all those people love each other, right? Like it's not they're I mean I don't know. I think if we could figure that out and solve that problem, we would all be really rich. And we could just podcast every day because we didn't have anything else to do except spend our money.
I'd do that.
We could just buy houses on the same street next to each other.
Like, I could quit my job, but I would still maintain the title doctor. And so we could still be macadamia nuts. We wouldn't be much in the academy, but we, you know... The people
but we'd have
that.
Enough money to buy a place in the other academy, though.
Oh.
For our short story.
Would we be able Cocaine to go Bear to the too? White Lotus?
Cocaine Bear hits White Lotus.
Yes.
Let's write that
story. The crossover we never knew we needed.
We could have our own fan fiction site for our Cocaine Bear White Lotus crossover with a podcast to support it.
Maybe that's what we need to do, is start dedicating an episode every month to crazy crossovers. And just start talking about crazy combinations of things we'd like to see and what the plot would be.
Yeah. I think toxic, I mean, like, and I think we should choose, like, toxic fan base things, like, you know, who's, like a Star Trek, Star Wars crossover, just to make people mad.
Catan is number 488.
Oh, what? I don't trust this list anymore. I don't trust the list.
I think Catan deserves more love, but knowing that fan base, it does not surprise me.
It is number 2 in the number of ratings. Like, it's the second most.
What's number 1? Rated. Monopoly?
Carcassonne. Sorry. Yeah. That's from 2000.
Another classic.
It's rated 200. And see, it's only like a $25.
Carcassonne still. And I would recommend Carcassonne. It's a good one.
I don't know what's going on in this board game. Sorry, there's pictures of people playing it, and it's just, I don't know. I mean.
Sorry.
Once, let's see if I can do this just by a descriptor. So my brother's really into board games. I don't know if you're on his level or he's on your level, but like way more than me, right? Like,
gotcha.
And he tried to get us to play this game and it was so complicated. I was just like, I'm out. And it had like mechs. He kept saying, it's a mech. And I'm like, I don't know what that is. And it was like a, I don't know, you had to roll, but then you had to build like a mech, which was kind of like a
mech?
A robot.
A mech. Yeah.
Robot.
Okay. I thought you were saying Mac.
No, Mac. Mac. I'm still missing a tooth. My pronunciation is off. Okay. But yeah, I just was like, I can't, dude. Like, I just can't. And I thought I could, you know, do a couple rounds and see what everyone else is doing. And then I learned the game. And like, every single player is a different, like, end goal and a different thing you're doing. So you can't learn it. And I just was like, I want Catan back, please. Can we play Werewolf again? So yeah,
I would play that game with your brother.
I know you would. I know you would.
I would play either of those games. The game where you're building the mech.
Yeah.
As well as the game where you're building the Mac, where you're like constructing an Apple computer is
right,
part of the goal.
Right.
Either game, I'm in. I'll play either one.
That's fair.
So the only real board game I've played other than like the big like commercial games, which I would include Catan in that, is I played Arkham Horror.
That's a good that's on the list. That's up there.
And that probably, I probably played that, man, it would have been forever ago when that came out. Like,
it's been out a while.
Yeah.
And a lot of these games are not that complicated. There's games that I could recommend games to you that are, if you don't like complex, they're strategically complex, but like learning the rules are not that complex.
Well, so here's my thing when it comes to all this, right? Like, complex is fine, but if this is something we're going to play one time because I'm visiting you or something, you know what
right.
I mean? Like, this is not something where we can regularly play this, and we spend the whole entire time explaining it.
Yeah, that's the challenge with these games.
It just doesn't, like, it's like, you know, but if we had board game nights every month and I lived by you, like, sure, let's get some complicated games that play out over the year, right? But, like, most of the time it's like, hey, 15 to 30 minutes tops on explaining this or doing a little test run on it, and then let's play, right? That's the kind of games that I think work best for, like, the way I play board games, right?
That's fair.
And some of these, I'm sure they're amazingly complicated and really cool, but if I don't stand a chance of even remotely winning... because you know what I mean, because it's just so complicated, I'm missing like a whole nuance of how to play, and somebody's like, oh well, you should have really done this, and it's like, well,
you didn't build your cone of Dunshire. Carcassonne, which is one you mentioned, that's one that you could pick up pretty quickly. That's one I would recommend both of you if you wanted to buy a new game. That's not that hard. Carcassonne.
Yes. I've been into puzzles recently, which I don't know if that's less or more nerdy than a board game, but like,
well, that depends. Hmm. Do you do them from the back where there's no picture?
No. I'm just like a normal, like, I bought this one of a flower on Amazon type of thing, but like, I'm just saying flat stuff happening on my dining room table is a puzzle, not a board game.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong
with
that.
Okay, so let's talk about your puzzle habits.
Oh, God.
Is this like, I got my coffee in the morning and I walk by and put a few pieces in?
No.
I sit at night and
do this before
I go to bed once the kids are asleep?
Yes. Or here's the other way that it happens. We have two TVs, one in the living room, one in our bedroom. And like on weekends, the babies, aka my children, are in the living room. Whatever they are watching is on that, and then my husband will be in the bedroom watching whatever he's watching, and so then I'm downgraded to no TV. So if he's watching something I don't want to watch, I'm puzzling or reading a book.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
because you can't buy a third television.
Well, where would I put it? Like, the couches and the bed are the most comfiest things. I could get
you
a tab
watch while you could be watching while you're puzzling.
Yeah, I could. Totally. I probably should do that, actually. Like, I have a Kindle Fire. No, I have a tablet, like, and I could do that. Yeah. But I just am real, I just want to sit there in my silence.
Okay.
And do my puzzles. Yeah.
I am almost done with my audiobook that I have been listening to. Did I tell you guys what I was listening to?
What?
Oh no, I told you, didn't I?
Tell us again and we'll see if we remember. Oh, I just finished the book like 2 days ago.
Oh,
That was what? In between the puzzling, I was okay. reading Spare. Yeah.
Spare? I'm not.
Prince Harry.
Oh.
So oh, what were your thoughts then, David?
I'm only partway through. He's
still... Oh, I just finished. Okay, yeah, I just finished.
So he's still military deployment right now.
Okay, so you're about halfway.
I haven't gotten to
Megan.
More recent stuff.
You want me to give you a spoiler?
I've had to listen to him in his own voice because I'm doing
the audio. Oh, he did it in his own voice?
Yes, it's him reading the book.
Oh my gosh.
So I have to listen to him talk like at night while I'm in laying bed with my earbuds in about his Dodger and his frostbite on his private parts.
He's going to talk about peeing himself later, just so you're aware.
I mean, part of me, I find myself completely forgetting of his place in the world.
Yeah,
like his stature. Like, you know,
well,
like
now I
want
to listen
right?
to the audiobook.
You should. It's really good.
Well, I mean, I bought the hardcover though. Like, and I don't know.
Do you
have
Audible?
Tumble money? Yeah, of course.
Well, if you have that, you should have a free monthly book.
I only pay for the subscription that upkeeps what I already own because my husband drives a lot and he purchases a ton of audiobooks, but then he is switching to podcasts now, and so I just upkeep the books we have.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
because that's the only reason I got it, so but anyways it's interesting to say the least. I'm finding it interesting.
Yeah, no, I was into it. I mean, I just like that kind of stuff. I've read all, because as we've discussed before, I love all like British royalty stuff. And so I've read like all the Diana stuff from the 90s and all the Tina Brown stuff and the palace papers and all this kind of junk. And so of course I was getting Spare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So big announcement yesterday out of Netflix.
What?
Ooh, I missed it. What was that?
Something is going to the London's West End as a theater production.
Cocaine Bear?
Nope.
Stranger Things.
Stranger Things.
What?
Stranger Things stage play. The first show opens in London's West End this year.
Oh my goodness gracious. Wow.
I just saw they're coming out with a Stranger Things board game.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's not very surprising.
This is set at Hawkins in 1959.
Oh, so it's like
Jim Harper.
Oh.
Yeah, and Bobby Newberry's sister, and like their radio station, and his car won't start, and like I think it's it's in the universe, right? I don't think it's meant to like.
The Strangerverse.
Yeah.
But I thought that was interesting. I hope it's good, and I hope it makes its way over here. That's something I would totally go watch.
Is it a play? Is it a musical?
I don't think it's a musical.
Stranger Things. There is nothing that Stranger Things. I don't know. I want to go to the musical.
I'm sure at some point there'll be one.
Oh.
I'm just a Demogorgon.
A simple Demogorgon.
Oh my goodness. I'm in 100%.
So what else have I been watching? Let's see. I have been watching the Outer Banks season, the new season of Outer Banks.
Okay.
I too watched the Murdoch Murders, I also watched the HBO documentary.
Well, I need to do that now.
It's
been
out for a little while.
Okay.
There's not a whole lot of different information, to be honest. Okay. The one you watch on Netflix actually has interviews with some of the kids who are involved.
It has a whole episode about the kids.
Right. And the other one only speaks to like one or two of the kids, maybe. So this one, the Netflix ones, is a little more involved with the story. And of course, that trial is going on right now. What else am I watching? I told you I'm watching The Consultant. Has anybody watched Shrinking yet on Apple TV? It's Mm-mm. so good. Please, somebody watch it.
The one with Harrison Ford. I think that's Apple's. That's Apple's Logan right now. Please, somebody watch it. Like that's Apple TV's slogan.
Is it? It's really good though.
But like, just in general, that's Apple's slogan.
Please,
if it's not, you know, like, hey, we have Ted Lasso and a bunch of other stuff. Please, somebody watch it.
Yeah.
Coming soon, the Pac-12 Network. Papple.
Please somebody watch it.
Please somebody watch it.
We just finished or got caught up on 1923.
I think I'm one episode behind.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you haven't seen where they all die? Behind.
No, I haven't seen where they all die. No. The last thing I watched, which I might be two episodes behind, what's his name and his lady are on a boat. It's flipped over in the ocean.
Okay.
Spoiler alert. Barely.
So, I that did get lit for a second season already, right?
Okay.
I
don't know. Oh, yeah, I don't know.
I think so. I think that they have. I hope so. Although I'm getting worried that Harrison Ford might be on borrowed time here. Like
character or himself?
Him. He's just getting really old, right? And we keep casting him in a bunch of things. I'm like, man, like I'm gonna be heartbroken, right? Like I think there is a season two that has been lit for that show, which is good.
Okay.
Anything else I'm watching? Don't think so. Anything that jumps out necessarily. I think I told you guys before that I've decided to give a full watch through to Buffy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I have said that I'm going to do that, and now I find myself watching other things again already. Okay. Like, I've already, like, skipped over it again. Like, I need to actually watch the entire thing.
It's hard to commit.
Yeah. Yeah. Alec, what about you? Are you watching anything?
Just, you know, we traveled this weekend and Only Murders in the Building is kind of our main thing besides, you know, whenever we get that hour after the kid goes to bed. Okay. Other than that, it's like YouTube videos of.
God, don't say Blippi. Don't say Blippi. Don't say Blippi.
I won't say it. Yes, in board games.
And board games.
Blippi and board games.
Have you watched Your Honor yet?
No, but I heard it was good.
With Bryan Cranston? That's kind of your wheelhouse there.
New
like
Orleans. That,
like it's New Orleans, Bryan Cranston, dark FX kind of, you know what I mean, show. Like, I mean, that's I think you'd dig it. I'm only like four episodes in or something, so I watched the first episode of The Wolf Pack, which is the spinoff of Teen Wolf, the MTV's Teen Wolf show that has,
I don't even know these shows exist.
Yeah. It's got, Sarah Michelle Gellar in it.
Huh?
So, and then there's something else. We're getting, Secession is starting soon too. Oh, I'm watching The Last of Us. Oh my god.
Oh, I heard it was awesome.
Oh my god, yes.
Because I'm not really into like post-apocalyptic type of stuff, but everybody says it's so good. I'm gonna have to watch it.
It is a really good show, and in a lot of episodes, the post-apocalyptic aspect of things takes a back seat to the rest of the narrative of that episode.
Okay.
So.
Oh, and speaking of Pedro Pascal escorting magical children, Mandalorian episode one drops today.
Oh, woo-hoo! Really? Today? It comes back
yep.
today?
Well, season
that's
three.
That's good to know.
We probably won't watch it right away. We'll let a few episodes.
You gotta save them up.
Gotta cash that.
Yeah. I don't know if I can wait. So I've also been watching While I Eat. This show that's called Extraordinary on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of what if everyone had superpowers except you?
Oh.
And it is, listen, it is a cross between, you ready for this?
Encanto.
Nope. The Boys and Fleabag.
Okay, well, ooh. I love Fleabag.
Yes.
So.
Well, you will love this show then. Because it has that same, it's the same kind of like British show in a sense of where like the main female character is like just kind of going through life. But then there's all this like random superhero stuff, but not superhero stuff like we think of like big superheroes. It's more like what if your idiot boyfriend wanted to like help people with his stupid superpower? And what if, you know, one of your cats turns out to actually be somebody who turns into a cat, forgot they were a person, kind of like, you know what I mean? Just like, like real things that
like
might
mundane
happen.
Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah. Like things that might happen in a world where everybody has superpowers.
So funny.
Yeah. And it's on Hulu. I think it's just half hour okay. episodes is two. It's pretty funny.
David, I feel like I live vicariously through your ability to watch things.
I watch a lot of stuff.
I do.
At some point, I might wish that I had all, you know how some people are like, I wish I had all the hours back I slept, right? And mine's going to be like, I wish I had back all the hours I spent playing video games and watching content. I probably could have written 6 great American novels. So.
But who would read them?
And who would podcast about it?
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean somebody has to do this. This is the work. This is the work of the people, right?
Exactly.
What would we study? Like, our careers would be over.
Well, we could study the latest iteration of Magic Mike: The Last Dance.
Oh no!
Which is out now in theaters.
Or again, Fast I'll watch X. it when it comes out on streaming. Okay.
I will probably too. The other ones were good.
I know. I like. I want to be like they were terrible. Matthew McConaughey. Being,
oh, that was, yeah.
His name was Dallas in the original Magic Mike was so good.
Well, you know who's in this one with him, right?
No,
Selma Hayek.
Yeah.
What? Really?
Yes.
Okay. Good for her.
And I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know. I got to turn this random trailer off on my side monitor because it's disgustingly distracted.
Oh my goodness.
So, well, we've ran the gamut of topics today.
We really
did. A deep dive into, you know, the craziness that always comes out of looking at Amazon.
IMDb just derails. Yeah, Amazon, yeah. IMDb.
Talked a lot about cocaine and Cocaine Bear. Talked about college sports, you know.
Yep.
Papple. It's the name of the episode. I'm sorry.
That's fine. I'm interested to see how you spell it. So,
but you know, maybe it has to be Packpole, like capital Packpole. P, capital P A C, lowercase P L E, Packpole.
Packpole, yeah, Packpole.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us.
On that horrendous note.
Well, everybody have a good week and thank you for joining us.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
You have been listening to the Macadamia Nuts podcast. All opinions and views are those of our hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of their institutions or affiliations. The Macadamia Nuts podcast is produced by David Morris, Alec Tifatilla, and Lindsay Maxwell. Theme music is provided by Jean-Luc Nance. Graphic design is provided by Maddie Lucas. And I'm your announcer, Jack Lowe. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to subscribe and follow us on social media. Also check us out online at www.themacadamianuts.com. Remember, that's Macadamia with an E. Thank you so much for listening.